Part 10, Chapter 6. A light shone down from the present edge and confirmed it. The fissure, 30 feet back from the old edge, had simply opened in the earthquake and fallen into the gorge. The cliff face was no longer overhanging, but sloped up toward them. In the light, the wide edge of the broken-off quartz lode was visible. It was pure white. No gold in the remaining vein. The pocket of gold was gone. But Johnny was thinking right now of the crew. They had not reached the fissure, for the avalanche had exposed no tunnel. They were somehow trapped down under them somewhere, if they were still alive. Johnny raced back to the shaft edge. It yawned blackly, a large circle of emptiness, silent. The shaft was about 100 feet deep. He looked around, flashing his light.
The hoist! Where's the hoist?
The entire apparatus used to take out ore and lower and raise men was missing. Lights played down the mountain. It was not on the slope. Johnny approached the hole more closely. Then he saw the slide marks of the cross timbers that had supported the hoist cage over the hole. The hoist was down there in the shaft.
Be very quiet, everyone,
said Johnny. Then he bent over and cupped his hands and shouted down,
Down there! Is anyone alive?
They listened.
I thought I heard something,
said the parson, who had come along.
Is
Johnny tried
down
again.
There?
They listened. They could not be sure. Johnny turned on his belt radio and spoke into it. No answer. He saw Angus in the rescue team.
Angus! Drop an intercom on a cable down into that hole!
While Angus and two others were doing that, Johnny pulled a picto recorder out of the rescue gear. He found more cable and extended its leads. Angus had rigged and lowered the intercom. Johnny signaled to the parson. The place was broadly lit now, with lamps the relief crew had put on poles. The parson's hand was shaking as he held the intercom mic.
Hello, the mine?
Said the parson. The intercom mic down there should pick up voices if there was any reply. There wasn't any.
Keep trying,
said Johnny. He paid out the line of the picto recorder and lowered it into the hole. Robert the Fox stepped forward from the relief group and took charge of the portable screen. At first, there was just the shaft wall sliding by as the picto recorder went down. Then a piece of timber. Then a tangle of cable. Then the hoist. Johnny rotated the cable and shifted the remote control to wide angle. The hoist was empty. A sigh of relief joined the night wind as the tense group saw that no one had been killed in the hoist. Johnny worked the remote to look over the hoist. It was hard to tell, but it did not appear there was anybody crushed under the fallen hoist. The picto recorder swung idly on its cable 90 feet below them. Eyes strained at the view screen, begging it for data.
No drift hole! The drift hole isn't visible! When the hoist fell, it caved in the entrance to the drift down there!
Pressing a flying platform into service, they flew a 3-man crew down to the bottom of the drift. Robert the Fox wouldn't let Johnny go down on it. One of the men dropped down from the platform and fixed lifting hooks into the cage cable, and they pulled it back up to the top of the hole.